Good afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 20th, 202nd day of the new year. Scheduled to join us this afternoon from SHN, economic planner Arnie Herskovic. On this first day of Ramadan, we'll find out if Arnie makes it in time or not, or if he's just enjoying the low tide out on the bay. Either way, we'll be back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig, bank dude et. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Douglas MacArthur. Never give an order that can't be obeyed. Stand up. Sit right. Wait, no, it's sit up, stand right. Okay. Oh, well. Jump up and down, rub your belly. Okay. Jennifer, I think a lot of people have heard reference to the research paper that you did about the marijuana economy in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I'm using the regional thing because I'm a big proponent of regionalism. One of the things, and before we get into it, because I think we need to bring everybody up to speed, because I know that while many have, there are certainly many who haven't heard or seen the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have found intriguing is the desire to dummy it down. Not to dummy it down, but to be so conservative with your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So that nobody would call into question. Of course, I'm the contrarian that I am, so I'm going the other way and saying, no! If it's supposed to be 100, it's 100. Mm-hmm. And then the numbers really get very scary for me, because I don't think that the county or the county's economy is any larger than what it was, but the percentage that it represents all of a sudden really gets up into the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose to bring it down?
Well, I think a big part of that is because one of the things, and I always preface any presentation I do with this, that this information is subjective. There's a lot of information. Like as an example, I was able to obtain the information from the Sheriff's Department about the eradication rates of marijuana over the last 10 years. And so in turn, the last 4 years have been about 200,000 plants. And then from there, I was trying to determine, okay, based on a 200,000 plant eradication factor, how many plants are grown in Humboldt County, just to try to get a rough estimate as far as the gross money that is, you know, in terms of what's grown. We know a lot of that money does not hit our economy.
That's where the dartboard came into play.
And that's where the dartboard came into play.
How would you guess or find or discover what that percentage would
be? Well, I talked to a lot of people that are involved directly in the marijuana industry. And honestly, I mean, there's some that said 1%, 2%. And there was a range there, you know, in terms of what their perspective was. But when I originally submitted my paper to Pacific Coast Banking School, I included a 10% eradication factor in there, and my numbers were all based on that. And again, that is a subjective number. And that's why what I ended up doing, Brian, was I went ahead and I changed that to 25% from the standpoint of determining, okay, if we eradicated 25% of the marijuana in Humboldt County, then, you know, what does that equate to from a monetary standpoint? And that's where I came up with basically about $1 billion a year in terms of what's grown in Humboldt County. I think that's extremely conservative.
Yeah, what did you get? What do you really think it is?
Oh, my gosh, that's such a difficult question. I mean, I truly, because I'm not
tied. Yeah, but you played. I mean, you spent time. You have a better sense than I, a whole lot better sense of what I do about this. Could it be 5? Could it be 10?
If you were to take, you know, the 1%, then yeah, it could be. It absolutely could be. And, you know, because that was one of the challenges as far as, okay, you know, how much is growing here? But then the next step in my analysis was to try to figure out how much of it actually hits our economy. Because that's really where I was going with this, was trying to determine, okay, if that money's pulled out of our economy, what's going to be the impact to our businesses, the individuals in Humboldt County, and so forth. And so, no, you're totally right. In doing this analysis, I really did take a conservative approach at every turn that I could, just because two parts. One being that it is subjective in nature, and so I wanted to make sure that the numbers that I was coming up with were on the low side. But then the second piece of that, of course, would be you're always going to have your critics who say that, well, you know, that's way higher than it should be. It's not really that, and so forth. And, you know, and so that was one of the reasons I
stuck
to
a
conservative approach.
Prove it.
Which nobody can. So,
yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, exactly.
Show me your footnotes on that one, buddy, and we'll talk. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:20. We'll be back with the actual presentation and more from Jennifer Budwig.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig. Jennifer, when you did your paper, what did you start with? I mean, where'd you go? What was your basic area of curiosity to get this thing going?
Well, one of the first things I did was went on the internet. And if you put in Humboldt County marijuana, it's amazing the amount of information that you're able to pull. Some of it very legitimate sources, some of it not. And so, you know, I pulled a lot of information off of that and then kind of sorted through it just in terms of what I felt would be applicable and what wasn't.
So how much was fiction? Would you guess?
Well, fiction...
Or inaccurate.
I would say a lot of it was comments because you have a lot of blogs on there. And so there was a lot of stuff that went back to blogs and just people kind of putting their own two cents worth in. But some of that was actually informative, you know, and reading the blogs, there was, you know, some actual growers got on there and they, you know, put their two cents worth in and so forth. And so there was some good information derived from that as well. But one of the other really good resources I had, well, two other really good resources I had. One was there's been quite a few documentaries that have been done on the marijuana industry. And
I just had written down History Channel.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Over and over.
Yeah,
gee.
And I TiVo'd every one of those. And then I watched each one of them. And as I watched each one of them, I took extensive notes on them. And there were five of them, you know, that I felt were extremely relevant to Humboldt County. And then another wonderful resource I had was the Sheriff's Department. I was able to talk to Wayne Hansen, who has
been... Isn't he a wealth of...
Oh, he's amazing. He is
scary,
amazing.
But really accurate.
Oh, boy. He's incredible. The thing is he's been doing this for a really, really long time. So he has been instrumental in the regular... busts that have happened in Humboldt County and working with camp. And, you know, he's done a lot of the flyovers and so forth. And so, I mean, he was just incredible. And then I was able to also interview some actual growers, very insightful there, people that work with growers, meaning some folks that own hydroponic stores.
The vendor types.
Yeah, vendor suppliers and so forth. And one of the things, I was actually pretty amazed at how open a lot of these people were with sharing information.
Isn't that stunning?
Uh-huh.
I mean, something that is patently illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Wayne was in on a show, and he was talking about the teacher up on Neyland or Maple Creek that had that big monster bus.
Yeah.
He believed the impact from his circle of acquaintances would be, you stupid, you got caught. Not that he was doing it, but that he got caught.
That he got caught, yeah.
How warped does that start playing into this whole thing?
Yeah. No, it's amazing, I think, too, when you start, you know, talking to a lot of the folks, it's just become very much, more the norm nowadays, you know, as far as growing in Humboldt County, and it's accepted, you know. And
weird
and
if you don't.
Kind of, yeah, I think especially if you go into certain areas within the county, that's very much the case. And
so
you know, and
did these guys start bragging, or was it more matter of fact?
No, it was more matter of fact. And I found it, one of the things I found interesting, Brian, is that I concluded that you kind of have three different, I guess I call them buckets of growers. You have your growers who are basically subsidizing their own income. So they may have a regular job elsewhere, but they grow a little bit here, a little bit there, mainly just because they want to keep up with their lifestyle. Maybe they had a good paying job and got laid off or something of that nature, and to be able to continue paying the mortgage and, you know, keeping the house over their head and taking care of their kids and so forth, you know, they've taken another job at a lower pay or got their hours cut or whatever it might be. So they're growing a little bit to help subsidize the income. Second group are the mom and pop growers, you know, maybe the ones who grow for their own use and maybe grow a little bit, you know, just to sell it to be able to pay their own bills. But they're, you know, not exorbitant growers. They just grow enough to get by.
Kind of like the old hippies.
Yeah, and very happy and content doing that. And then you have your massive growers, you know, your growers that go in and they're there to make a lot of money.
Is there a parallel between that last group and the tobacco plantations and tobacco farms? Are they common? Are they similar? Or because one is legal and one isn't, it's really not comparable?
I would suspect that it's really not comparable at this point in time. You know, of course, if it's legalized, then that's what the whole premise of my paper was, in terms of if it's legalized, then there would be the possibility that you're all of a sudden going to go to the large plantations like the tobacco industry, and then what that would do in terms of supply, and then that huge supply is going to hit the market, and then of course your prices are going to go down accordingly. So until it's legalized, I don't think you're going to see that same parallel.
What would it do to demand if it became legalized?
I think most people feel that the demand would go up a bit, you know, from the standpoint of it's going to be more readily accessible. It may end up being a situation where it's sold just like cigarettes. So you walk into a store and you buy a pack of joints. And so, you know, again, similar to buying a pack of cigarettes. And so, you know, so if it is legalized and it's available in that form, then yes, it's definitely going to be more readily accessible. So I'm sure the demand would go up. I would certainly expect that. But the question would be, is the demand going to go up nearly as much as the supply? And as we've seen, prices have gone down continuously over the last 10 years as a result of increased supply. When Prop 215 happened, then all of a sudden you have this quasi-legal status of it. Yeah, and so you had a lot more growing out there going on. And in terms, you know, prices have gone down pretty significantly. One grower told me that right now outdoors, you know, you're looking around $700 a pound, or it could be bought for that much. Now, from what I understand, a lot of people would never sell it for that much because of how low of a price that is. But I guess it's also dependent upon, you know, how much you would need the cash.
$700 a pound, was it around two grand or $3,000 a pound at one point?
Yeah, I've actually
Somehow that had stuck in my head.
Right, as to where it had been.
How much it was.
So if you go back, and this was, I had asked three different individuals that were pretty tied into the industry price ranges, and they all gave me a pretty similar answer. 10 years ago, your indoor ran about $4,500 to $5,000. Outdoor ran around $3,500 to $4,000. About 5 years ago, your indoor was about $4,000. Your outdoor was about $2,800 to $3,500. And currently, your indoor is about $2,500, and then your outdoor is about $1,500. But like I said, some quoted as low as $700 a pound.
KINS News and Information Times 4:31.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig, Bank Dudette. I like that. From Redwood Capital. Jennifer, the study that you did, what are some of the numbers that blow people away?
Well, when I was coming up with about $1 billion growing in Humboldt County annually, and again, a conservative estimate there, I believe, that was, I think, pretty mind-boggling for a lot of people to grasp, because that's a lot of money. It's a lot of plants.
What does that represent as far as the total legal economy in Humboldt County? What is a billion? Is it 10%, 20%, 50%?
It's about 26%. Well, let me back up on that. I mean, in terms of again, my analysis included kind of an estimate of gross. And then my next step was to determine how much of that is actually spent within the county. And what I came up with is about 26% of our economy is directly influenced through marijuana. And that was just basically taking Humboldt County taxable sales and dividing that by personal income and then doing a comparison to other counties that are similar in, you know, population unemployment rates, income and taxable sales as well, and doing a comparison there.
So this is, again, coming off the really conservative figures.
I think so,
I mean, it could be more?
I've had some people tell me they estimate it's more 40 to 50%, but again, it's very subjective, and that's a difficult number to really
So if it was determine. 50%, it would be just more the economy is an underground, unreported economy.
Correct.
It's not that somebody's hiding all this stuff in the retail and the legal side of things.
That's correct.
That's two corrects in a row. I don't know if I can handle that.
That's incorrect, Brian. Yeah,
thank you. Yes. All right, I'm back on the beam
back
now.
On the saddle. But I think one of the things, too, that we have to look at, which I think is extremely important, of course, is the trickle-down impact of this. And that, to me, is what is so significant. So you have a grower who they go in and they spend money in, whether it's, you know, the hardware store, buying tires for their trucks. Or the truck.
Yeah.
They spend money in the restaurants, you know, and that in turn supports a lot of jobs and supports a lot of businesses within this county.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know if this is a fair one or not, and you can back off if you want to. What percentage of the businesses in Humboldt County do you think are operated by people who are growing and the business is a front? Numbers are?
No idea. I truly have absolutely no idea the answer to that question.
Because you've heard the stories like I have.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, and it just doesn't connect. It just flat out doesn't connect.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the knee-jerk reaction. Either that or there's a sugar daddy somewhere down the line that nobody knows anything about.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you hear that they're used as money laundering, you know, the fronts that are used as money. But
wouldn't the numbers, I mean, no, this is the bank girl. Wouldn't the numbers show some kind of weird thing? I mean, when you did your tax returns or, because I know there's some CPAs that won't do certain businesses.
Uh-huh.
Because they know that it's too much fiction.
Right.
They won't sign it themselves. But wouldn't some of the ratios or some of the numbers just really be so cattywampus you'd go, hey, how'd you do this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would certainly assume so.
Okay.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Leakage is a big deal. We talk about an awful lot of leakage in cars, retail, things of that nature. If it's $1 billion,
mm-hmm.
how much leakage of that industry is there? Does a $1 billion represent 10%? Or 20% of the total industry expenses, but a lot of it is being spent out of the area, and they're bringing things in, or the proceeds are going out of the area?
Well, I basically came up with about $800 million as far as what the difference would be in terms of where I came up with that 26%, because we all know that, you know, that there's certainly out of, say, $1 billion, which, again, I think is pretty light, a lot of that money is not spent here. So it's either, A, going directly out of the county, or they're spending it elsewhere. You know, maybe they're taking a lot of vacations, or they're sending it to offshore account. Whatever they might do, I have no idea. Burying it in the backyard, whatever it might be.
Which sounds funny, but it is. you've seen the plastic jugs, right?
I've heard of the plastic jugs, yeah.
Okay. I've seen them in enough places now so that it's not just one outlet. It handles in $100 bills $1 million. And these guys are selling 10 and 12 of these at a time. And they're not being used to do peppercinis. those are the anecdotal stuff that I look at and just, I can't fathom this stuff.
I know.
I've never tried this stuff, so I don't understand the attraction to it. But the volume that we're talking about, in the days when the logging industry was humming.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a comparable number?
Jimmy Smith had said, I believe, that in the height of the timber industry, that the makeup of the economy at that point in time was about 12%. So if 26% is what I'm coming up with, then it's more than double. And the other thing, too, I think that one of the most important factors about this industry is that it does bring a lot of money from outside the county in, because almost all of the sales, I would certainly assume, are out of the area, you know. And so that money is coming into Humboldt County, and even though we know a lot of it's not spent here, a lot of it is spent here.
I've seen your presentations half a dozen times. I still have a tough time getting my head around this thing. I mean,
the numbers.
Yeah. When did you get to the point where you go, okay, and you could get around it?
It's funny to ask that question, because when I was calculating these numbers, I had to double and triple and quadruple check my calculator, because I'm like, there's too many zeros here. And so I ran the numbers several times, and you know, I hit that $1 billion number, and it's like, oh my gosh, because when I did my paper and I used a 10% eradication factor, it was actually a gross of about $2.6 billion as far as, you know, what would be grown in the county. So basically, in a nutshell, what that means is that based on 200,000 plant eradication factor, if that assumption is that we only got 10% of the marijuana grown in Humboldt County, then basically that would equate to about $2.6 billion being grown in Humboldt County annually.
You know, so maybe there is something behind the last redwood tree. How do you have enough space for this stuff?
I know. It's pretty amazing.
KINS, News and Information Times 442. We'll be back with more from Jennifer Budwig.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital. Jennifer, a lot of the presentation, and I think most of the interest is in the financial costs, the resources, the monies. What about the cultural costs? Did you get into that at all with this, or was that kind of left for somebody in the psych department?
That was left for someone in the psych department. I did meet with a gal who was in the process of doing her thesis through Humboldt State on the social ramifications of marijuana. And we actually had a pretty extensive conversation, and it was just, and that opened my eyes to looking at, there's so many other elements to this. I mean, I strictly focused on the economical aspect of it, but there's the criminal element, the social element, the psychological element. I mean, it kind of goes on and on. So there's so many other variables that are out there that, you know, that are faceted around this topic. And I strictly just hit on the economic piece of it.
And even with that, it's still pretty broad. I mean, you get into retail. Giggling a little bit about trucks.
Right.
Well, okay. So do we sell the proper ratio of trucks in our area? You know, you pull out the dairy industry.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out some of the, you know, the macho guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what factor are we doing here?
Well, and you could say that about soil and fertilizer and piping and
turkey bags.
I actually did call. You know, you saw the billboards on the highway, and they
had no clue, no bloody clue. Go, what in the world? And well, since Dwayne is no longer at, well, at Fortuna, he didn't know either as a city manager. I told him, he said, no. And I said, yeah, call. And they, I mean, those types of things for those who aren't engaged in the economics of it, of right. the industry, no clue.
Yeah.
Absolutely no clue.
Well, and I didn't know till probably about 2 years ago. And I actually called one of the numbers on the billboard and I left him a message and I said, and I asked him to call me because I thought, oh, it would be so great to be able to try to get the number of turkey bags that are sold in Humboldt County. And of course, he never called me back, but I did go down that road. So I thought that that would be really interesting, you know, comparatively. And one of the other things I did try to do as well is I contacted the FDIC. And I was trying to get an amount from them in terms of looking at the net cash that goes out of Humboldt County that's exported out as far as banks go and comparing that to other counties just to try to get a feel for, you know, how much cash is run through the banking system comparatively. And same thing, they said they could not release that information to me. In other words, a gentleman.
Really?
Proprietary?
Yeah.
That's what they said. Now, there's another gentleman from the LA Times who actually came up and interviewed me last week, and I told him about that, and he is adamant about getting that information, and he said, if I have to get my lawyers involved, I will, but I know we can get a hold of that information.
That's a little over the top for me.
Well, he was just saying that, but I think that if you push the issue, you probably could get it, but it would be very interesting to see what that statistic is.
Yeah, those anomalies that are represented. And again, it's kind of like we talked about early on. You know, we see things as normal here.
Uh-huh. Very much so.
And they're not.
No.
We have just become passive to it, blind to it, insulated from it.
It's just
desensitized.
Desensitized is probably a good way to put it because, you know, it's amazing how much it seems to be a normal part of conversation nowadays, almost to the point where it's not illegal. I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, folks are willing to talk about it like we talked about before. And I think that a lot of that is because there is a quasi-legal mentality about it because of the 215 card process, you know, and it's so easy to get
your
215
cards.
Well,
and the 99 plants, too. I mean, that helped to set the stage for this as well.
Well, right, which in turn, now, and of course, that's in limbo right now because there was a, I think it was SB 420 got repealed because they said you cannot specifically put a number on it because what if someone needs 120 plants for their medical needs? And so that got overturned.
Apparently their roof is leaking and they need leaves for the roof at 120. Holy. I've heard what a normal consumption would be and it's not anything close to that.
To the 99 plants.
It's not even 10.
Well, and some, you know, some counties have been a little more specific in terms of, I think they're still quantifying it to a degree. And so from what I understand, and like when the 99 plants went into place, from what I understand is that was a really big carrot for producers to be able to, A, produce larger plants, but then B, to be able to produce more potent plants. And so the THC levels have gone up significantly.
Yeah, the variability is all of a sudden. They're maximizing
huge.
Their opportunity.
Right, right,
yeah,
exactly.
See,
they're smart farmers.
Bring it back to economics. Thanks for coming by, Jennifer. If somebody wants this, can they go to Redwood Capital's website? Do you guys have that on
there? No, it's not on here, but I do believe that it's
send your check and money order to?
Yes, to Brian Papstein.
Oh, to me. Okay, I'm your agent now.
Actually, I believe that the PowerPoint presentation that I gave to the Board of Supervisors is on their website, and it has a bulk of that information in it.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay, you bet, Brian.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.